Open up to Romans 1 again. Now tonight is a different kind of message, a different kind of lesson than I've done before. As you know, he's got me on this intensive, I don't know what do you call it, journey, study, quest. Bless God, we are going to stop losing people to cancer. I mean, that's I don't know how else to put it. I don't care about anything else right now. Until we're able to stop cancer in its tracks, I'm just not interested in much else. And I know that Jesus, that's what he intends for us to do, and not just the fivefold, not just I really believe with all my heart, the day of the one man show. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Thank God for the one man. I thank God for all of them. I honored Dave Roberson and Smith Wigglesworth and T.L. Osborne and on, Oral Roberts, on and on with Kenneth Hagin, on and on we could go. And how about some women? Amy Simple McPherson and Catherine Kuhlman and on and on. And wonderful. But that was really never God's plan, to evangelize the world with a few like that. God's plan was to evangelize the world with you, believers. And I believe the day of Joel's army, the army described in Joel 2, is about to rise up. And it's going to be believers everywhere. And for that to happen, though, faith has to arise in the hearts of the believers. You're more than one. Tonight's message, I think we're just going to call it good quotes. I've got some quotes. You know, we're standing on the shoulders of these people that have come before us. And thank God for the ones that have kind of pioneered the way and blazed the trail. And how many are glad for a Dave Roberson, you know? And he's not done, by the way. We're just... He's in a reprocessing. We're looking forward to Dave 2.0. Amen. More anointed, more funny, more everything than ever before. He's just kind of going, in my mind, he's going through a growth period here. Let's say it that way. But I thank God for all these people. And we're standing really on their shoulders. But if any one of them was here right now today, they'd say, I want you to go a lot farther than I ever went. Isn't that right? I'd want you to go a lot farther. And he's talking and to all of us. So Romans, if I can ever get to it and quit preaching, Romans 1 are kind of our launching pad for this moment, for this morning. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I mentioned to you that I've been reading Christ the Healer since the beginning of the year by F.F. Bosworth. But a really good companion book that you, if you haven't ever read it, you need to read it. And you can get it free now online. It's Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. And he actually references F.F. Bosworth's book pretty often in it. But T.L. had some insights that's good for you to hear. And... one of the quotes that I that's really had an effect on me, this was really a few weeks ago, T.L. says this. He says, you should never ask God to do what he has already done. Yeah. And you should never ask God to do what he has told you to do. Now, they're both true, see? Now, for the classic example, Christians always want to talk to God about the mountain. We always ask God to move the mountain. We always ask God, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And the truth of it is, he plainly told us to speak to the mountain. We are to speak to the mountain in Jesus' name and expect the results. See, we're always asking God, well, heal me. And there's really nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's okay. But in a way, it's like when you ask that, he looks at the stripes on Jesus' back. And the work has already been done. What's he going to do? You think he's got another son waiting in the wings? Somebody else is going to come? From his point of view, when you say, heal me, well, he'll look at the stripes on Jesus' back and go, I did. Our job is to speak to that sickness, that mountain. Quit asking God to do what He's already done. And rise up and do what He's told us to do. That's why I'm starting to understand more and more why Jesus didn't say, go pray for the sick. He said, go heal the sick. He did the work. Now we're to go in His name. See, that's good preaching right there. Isn't that good? We're already good. I thought it would be good to get some more quotes. I know that one is working in me. And y'all can, these aren't real long. You're welcome to write them down. I'll try and go slow and read them a couple of times. But I will probably put all of these on a sheet of paper, you know, a file, and have them there at the website. Would you like that better? And that way you don't have to write. Okay, let's do that then. Now here's another one by T.L. Osborne. And the reason, I'm not trying to exalt any of these men, but I am very interested in men and women who made it work. Okay? And they made it work consistently. Now my favorite, I'll just tell you, is right now, my favorite is John G. Lake. And the reason for that, of all of them that I've read after, really only John G. Lake was able to reproduce himself in other people. And I mean people not called to the fivefold. You remember last week we talked about, or a week or two ago, the healing rooms in Spokane? He purposely chose 16 ordinary, normal people that, pretty obvious, none of them had pulpit ministries or anything like that. And he trained them how to do it. And you know the story, over the next, how many years was it? Oh, man. See, I didn't bring my notes on that part. Anyway, they had 100,000 healings over a short period of time. And I mean documented healings. Was it 5 years? Wasn't it? Okay, 5 years. Thank you. In 5 years, they had 100,000 documented healings. Okay? Documented by doctors. Now, I'll tell you right now, not everybody they prayed for got healed. And he'll mention that. But think about all those that did. See? So people began, you know, people come up with all, I don't care what happens, skeptics are going to come up with some reason. So they came up with this thing, well, it's because it's Spokane. Did I think I said Seattle? It was Spokane. And they said, well, it's because Spokane, you know, and this is all junk anyway, but they're saying, well, there are spiritual ley lines around the world, and Spokane happens to lie on one of those, and so the miracles are happening because it's there. Or the other excuse was, well, these are just 16, you know, you may think you picked them out, but these were special people. So what he did, he moved to Portland, Oregon, chose 16 different people, trained them the same way he taught the first 16, and in the next 5 years, they had exactly the same results. 100,000 documented healings. When I say documented, I mean by doctors. In Portland. He was able to reproduce himself. So just know this, much is coming from John G. Lake. I'm studying a lot. But T.L. Osborne, man, this guy here, how many have ever heard a message by audio or some way of T.L. Osborne? Let me see your hand. Not very many of you. Aren't they the simplest things you ever heard in your life? I mean, this guy, he kept it simple. God is good. They're simple. God is great. Jesus is God's son. Jesus is raised from the dead. He loves you. He heals you today. I mean, it's just simple, simple, simple. And the miracles would just break out like crazy. He lived, by the way, to be 89 years old. That's pretty good. And preaching the gospel almost right till the end. And had 90 countries, 90 countries. That he ministered in, and they lose track. Millions saved and millions healed. Now, isn't that something? I want to learn from a man like that. A man like that, let's learn, okay? Just don't try and reinvent the wheel. So I gave you that first one. I'm going to say it again. I'll try not to preach so much. Are they there? So we're being told that some of his messages are available online on YouTube. Okay, so you can hear them if you want to. Number one, let's do that one again. You should never ask God to do, and this is T.L. Osborne. You should never ask God to do what He's already told you to do. And you should never ask God to do what He has already done. Whew. Man, there's tons of revelation right there. Here's another one. The purpose of a spirit-filled life is to demonstrate the supernatural power of our living God so that the unsaved multitudes will abandon their dead gods to call upon the name of the Lord and be delivered. See, that is, didn't I preach that message just a week or so ago? The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Ghost is not tongues. Tongues is one of the tools you received along there. That the end purpose was not so you could speak with tongues. Tongues is part of the package of the tools that we have, like fasting and all, meditation of the Word. You shall receive tongues. You shall receive power. Then you shall be my witnesses. He, from the beginning, Jesus intended for us to be witnesses with power. And that old excuse about, well, that's only for the 11. That's only for the 11. We blew that out of the water within the last week or so. Because there was 120 in the upper room. And it wasn't just the 11 got filled. 120 got filled. And if they all got filled, then they all received the same power. Mary, the mother of Jesus, we're specifically told, was in that upper room. And I believe Mary spoke with other tongues. I know because it said they all did. Now, I don't have record of it, but I'll bet you she laid some hands on the sick and saw him recover. Can't prove that. Never can prove it. But that's the purpose, was power. Okay. How about this one? Ministry, this is T.L. Osborne. Ministry is really pretty simple. Love people and help them. See, there's a verse somewhere. Faith which worketh by, what was that? Oh, faith which worketh by love. See, Jesus was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Here's a preview of a coming lesson. I learned this from John G. Lake, from his writings. You know why the hardest people for you to get saved or healed is your family members? Well, they know you too well. But the point that he was making, he says, you love them with human love. See, God loves them with his love. God loves everybody the same. We get confused with emotional human love. And we do. If your kid tries to kill my kid, now we're talking about the law of natural human love. If your kid grows up and tries to kill my kid, I'll kill your kid. Isn't that right? That's the law of the jungle, if you want the truth of it. And I don't really think that's the love of God right there. See, God loves Hitler as much as he loves anybody else. That's a different kind of love. See, that kind of love will pray at the hospital for people you've never met. So you want to intercede for your loved one because your emotions are all tied up and you've got human love involved. And really, that kind of love shows partiality. God's love doesn't show any partiality. Anyway, previews of coming attractions. Okay. All right, now here, let's go back to some good quotes. Good quotes. T.L. Osborne. Both sin and sickness came into the world through the fall of the human race. Therefore, we must look for the healing of both in the Savior of the human race. God is as willing to heal believers as he is to forgive unbelievers. What a sentence. How simple is that? God is as willing to heal believers as he is to forgive unbelievers. And see, the question would be, well, why? Because Jesus paid the price for both. It's not based on them. It's based on the work of Jesus. See? Still in that same quote, he says, know this. This is a good message for the church. Know this. If he was merciful enough to forgive you when you were unconverted, he is merciful enough to heal you now that you're in his family. Is that good stuff or what? Man. Now, we could go one beyond there. We're finding out he'll heal He'll not only heal the believer, He'll heal the unbeliever. And that's supposed to happen as a sign to the unbeliever that He loves them. I don't know about you, that kind of flies in the face of a lot of church tradition I grew up under. See? All right. This one he says, this TL again. How can we call ourselves a church and not believe in healing and in miracles? He says, I cannot read four pages in the Bible anywhere without encountering miracles. And the God of the Bible is the same today. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Here we go. He says, TL says, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached with evidence. It must be preached as a witness. And this can only be done by Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I love TL and I'm quoting TL because I appreciate him, but I'm going to go one little degree different here. It can actually be done by Christians who are not filled with the Holy Ghost. It's those who believe. And good Lord. Names, when I'm in this mode, names are the hardest thing for me. Dowie. John Alexander Dowie was never filled with the Holy Ghost. He actually preached against being filled with the Holy Ghost. He fought Azusa Street and everything to do with it. John Alexander Dowie had two things that he believed. Number one, the name of Jesus is above every name that is named. And he knew he had that name, like Peter at the Gate Beautiful. Okay? And the second thing he believed down to his socks, if you'll allow me, healing is in the atonement. He knew the price had already been paid. With that much knowledge right there, not having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God was able to heal more people through John Alexander Dowie without the Holy Ghost than most preachers today with the Holy Ghost. See? But that does not take away from what Jesus said. His best is not to function like... See, now here's the thing. If y'all followed John Alexander Dowie's ministry to the end, he got pretty messed up. He needed the teacher. He needed the Holy Ghost. He needed to have that ability for the Holy Spirit to purge him of handles. And because that did not happen, his ministry ended fairly sadly. Okay? That's why I said this morning, we teach fasting, we teach prayer, we teach mortification and all of that. That is not to produce power. The Holy Ghost is the power. He brought the power. Those things are to mortify us, to remove handles so that Satan doesn't have something to grab hold of to destroy you with. And he even tried it with Jesus right before the cross. He said, the prince of this world comes, but he finds nothing in me. Well, I hate to tell you this, but if Gary was there, I'm being mean to me and nice to you, okay? He might find a big old handle sticking out, you know, bigger than my Starbucks cup. There's a big old handle right there. So the purpose of prayer, it deals with unbelief and other things, but one of the main reasons, it's really more for your protection than it is to produce power. You receive power the day that you receive the Holy Ghost, because He is the power of God. The gospel itself is the power, but He is the manifester of that power. Okay. Y'all getting anything? You okay? All right. Okay. Here we T.L. Osborne. Speaking in tongues is not enough. That's kind of been my message here lately. I may have that. That may be a title. Speaking in tongues is not enough. How many know I believe in speaking in tongues? I mean, I preach it. I live it. I want to take exception with Paul. I mean, Paul says, I speak with tongues more than you all. I said, well, I wasn't born when you wrote that. I want to challenge that. I think he'd be okay with that. You know? I get real quiet when I say that, though. What I'm saying is I believe in it. He wants us to speak with tongues. We should speak with tongues. And speak with tongues a lot. But again, that was not the end purpose for you receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He said, speaking in tongues is not enough. If we turn men from unchristian religions to Christianity, we must produce miracles which convince men that Jesus Christ lives and he is alive today. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Don't be my witnesses until you receive this power from on high. Then you go out and you be my witness. Witness to what? Jesus is alive. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Jesus saves. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost and Jesus heals. Here's another one by T.L. He says, only the power of the living Christ, proclaimed in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, can meet the urgent needs of humanity. Boy, I wonder if I say that one again. Only the power of the living Christ, proclaimed in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I love that is worded so perfectly. Only the power of the living Christ, proclaimed in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, can meet the urgent needs of humanity. Man. Now see, when you start talking like this, all your friends and all your relatives, with this next one, they're going to think you're crazy. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. I'm trying to imagine the reaction in the churches I grew up in. If anybody, T.L. or anybody else, would have come up and made this stated this. Here it is. Christians never need to be sick. Any more than they need to be sinful. It is always God's desire to heal you. See, that's a renewed mind talking there. That's somebody whose mind has been renewed. I told you a week or so ago, when a gauge, you can start telling if you're really getting renewed. Your friends and co-workers start thinking you're crazy because you're talking truth. That doesn't make sense to the natural mind. See? I brought a chapter from, not a chapter, this is a section from a chapter. This is to whet your appetite for his book titled Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. This little subheading is called Positive Knowledge in Prayer. It said, with positive knowledge of the will of God, we do not pray, Lord, heal me if it be your will. That implies doubt, and doubt cancels faith. He said, an invalid said to me, I believe in praying for God to heal if it be his will. Then to illustrate the thought, he said to me, a child may ask a parent for something, and the parent will give it, if it will be good for the child. And so in this way, I pray for healing. See what he's saying? Only give me healing if it's something good for me, or if it's your will, sin. So I answered, now here's T.L.'s answer back to that guy. He said, now if the parent had promised to give the child a certain thing, the child would have a right to expect it. Our Father has promised us healing, and we have a right to expect him to keep his promises. Oh, is that good? So simple, so pure, so gospel. Now, T.L. continues to teach here. He says, not knowing the will of God in a certain matter, we may pray in faith that God will do this for us if it be his will. See, we could go to James right now. James said, you know, you rich men who say, we're going to go to such and such a city and we're going to buy and we're going to sell and we're going to stay so long and we're going to get gain, which sounds like every board meeting I was ever in. That's exactly what they say. But he says, no, you need to pray if it be the Lord's will. And he's just teaching them, listen, your life is not your own. When it comes to those kind of things, you need to find out the mind of the Lord and follow his leading. But that's different than something Jesus already paid for. See, that's different than healing. That's direction. We got to get direction from the Lord. Amen. If it's whatever you want me to do, I'll still like Saul's prayer is perfect on the road to Damascus. Who are you? Once you find that out, you're Jesus. Second, Lord, what would you have me do? That's the kind of the definition of Lord. And who's the boss? Lord, what would you have me do? Now, that's what James is saying here. But that's different than when the Father says, with His stripes, you were healed. You know His will now. Every single one. Where God has revealed His will by promising to do a certain thing, we need not be in ignorance of it or in doubt concerning it. The Bible reveals physical healing to be His will, just like spiritual healing is His will. If we fulfill the conditions and believe the promise, the faith that appropriates God's promise rests on the knowledge of His will. See if I'm quoting this correctly. Faith begins where the knowledge of God is known. Where the knowledge of God's will is known. Yeah. Faith begins where the knowledge of God's will is known. You can't have faith beyond your knowledge of the Bible. You really can't. Okay? But once you read it and you know His will, there's no reason to doubt. There's no reason for it at all. Again, I'm going to bring up B, you know. If you know B at all, B will keep her word. I mean, heaven and earth would pass before B. I mean, she'd have to be abducted by aliens or something. I mean, you know, an earthquake would have to, swallow her car whole. But what I'm saying, on her own, heaven and earth would pass before B would not keep her word. Well, if we know any human like that, how about God, who cannot lie? That's what Jesus meant when He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You're never going to find where I won't keep my word. I know. Ow! Ow! He's trying to kill unbelief and doubt, the fleshly part of us. Now, quoting still from that chapter, or that section, Positive Knowledge and Prayer, from that book, Healing the Sick, continuing, T.L. says, the faith that appropriates God's promise rests on the knowledge of His will. His known will is the basis of our faith. Boy, that's a good sentence right there. We could not take healing by faith, believing that we received it, if there was any question as to whether or not it was for us. We must know the will of God. Then we may take by faith whatever He has promised in His word, believing that when we ask, we receive. Our will also has a part in the question of healing, though. Remember, was it when Alan mentioned it this morning? Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda, and He asked the guy, would you be made whole? That guy's will had something to do with it. So He's saying our will also has a part in the question of healing. Will we take that which God wills for us? Will you? If you live in me, Jesus said, if you live in me and my words live in you, ask what you will and it shall be done to you. When our will meets His will, the work is done. Is that good stuff or what? Now, I know I read these this morning, but I think He wants me to read them again. If I still have them. If salvation was preached, what if we taught salvation, the new birth, the same way the church at large, has taught healing? Okay? Now, see, don't we teach salvation, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? You know, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, and God has raised Him from the dead, thou might be saved. No, thou shalt be saved. Amen? We preach it strong and people get saved. But what if we... Now, knowing that healing is just as much in the atonement, His blood was shed for your healing, just like His blood was shed for your forgiveness. Knowing that the same blood provided the same atonement, what if we preached salvation the way healing has been traditionally taught in the church? We would say something like this. Well, you can call upon the name of the Lord if you want to, but you just can't be sure if it's a will to save you. I call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, if it be thy will. Will that work? No, it won't work. What if we preached it to them like this? You know, how many times have I heard people say, well, I'm just glorifying God in the middle of my thing. Well, what if we said, or perhaps you should just glorify God while you remain in sin. I'm in this adultery, but I'm glorifying God right in the midst of it. See, it's ridiculous if we preached it the same way. How about this one? Well, perhaps your sin is for God's glory. Yeah, just remain in it and give God glory while you're in it. That's Romans 6, if you want to know the truth of it. God forbid, he says. How about this one? Perhaps, I got to use the toad. Dr. Toad. Perhaps God, is using your sin to punish you. You know, that's been taught all the time about healing, about sickness. Oh, it's God punishing you for this and God punishing you for that. How about this one? God's using your sin to teach you. You'd look at them like they're crazy. And we should. See? I like to just be patient in your sin until God desires to save you. See, you don't know, one of my best friends that died many years ago, and I was trying to, I didn't know hardly anything then compared to now, but I was trying to get him to talk right. And you know, I remember this came out of his mouth. He had cancer. And he said, listen, God is sovereign. If he wants to heal me, he'll heal me. He died not shortly, you know, not too long after that. What if you said it that same way? If God wanted to save me, he'll save me. I ain't doing nothing. He'll just save me. When he gets ready, he'll save me. He already did the work to save you. It's up to you now to act on what he did. Jesus already shed his blood. Just be patient in your sin. What if we taught them like so many? You know, a lot of churches teach that the day of healings and miracles is past. Well, what if we taught the day of salvation is past? Sorry, born too late. Sorry, no hope for you. What if I called on the name of Jesus? Nope, the day of salvation is past. It's all gone, sorry. Yeah, but what if I repent and give my life to Jesus? Doesn't matter, day of salvation is past. It's crazy. This is my all-time favorite right here. I have tried to picture Jesus doing this. Yes, my brother. It is God's will to heal you. However, the timing of God. He wants to heal you. Just not today. I've tried to picture Jesus. Come back Thursday. Isn't that ridiculous? But it's been done all the time. What if we taught salvation that way? Come back Thursday, the guy dies on Wednesday, goes to hell. Crazy stuff. Just crazy stuff. If we preached the new birth the same way that the church traditionally has taught healing, hardly anybody would get saved because there's no faith for it. See, we're raising the bar, and we are doing it on purpose. We're returning the bar. We're not raising it above Jesus. We're trying to raise it back where he put it. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I'm trying to picture now standing before him. I prayed for Mary Corbett, and I don't mind mentioning her name. Mary Corbett's legacy is going to be thousands and thousands, if not millions of people saved and healed. Because it put us on this path. Not just her, Rudy Spurk and Linda Thom and anyone else that we've lost. Amen? Okay? There's going to be a legacy of salvations and healings. Because it forced us to get back in here and find out the truth. Raise the bar back where it should be. Because I'm trying to picture, what am I going to say to Jesus? When I myself was one, I know you probably prayed for all of those people too. I've seen Dave lay his hands on him, but I'm just talking about Gary. I'm trying to picture what it's going to be on that day. And I know he forgives me. Don't get me wrong. But I'm thinking, I've got John 14, 12 in my Bible, don't you? I better look at it. Quote it correctly. You'd think by now. Yeah, John 14, 12. 13, actually 12, 13, and 14. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now I'm trying to picture, I prayed, I laid hands on Mary. I know many of you did the same. I'm just going to talk about me. Someday I'm going to stand before Jesus. What's my answer going to be? He said, didn't you have a Bible? Didn't you have my word, Gary? Why didn't you believe me? Remember the day he walked, I was preaching, minding my own business. He walked through the wall right over there between those two speakers. Walked right over here, put his hand on my Bible and said, I want to be believed. I want to be believed. That's... Well, we're getting there. Dwelling on the past is only useful if you use it to build the future.
Right.
Amen? We're not going to focus on past mistakes, but we are going to remember those so that we don't keep repeating those same mistakes in the future. Amen? Now, I've got some more quotes. I got them on my phone. I didn't really know the service was going to go this way, but I have them for easy reference. I have a section in here called Good Quotes. I want to give you a few that I was reading today again. I get these out and I read them. I'm trying to renew my mind. And sometimes hearing the same truth from somebody who's walked in it. Like here's one from John G. Lake. He said, the gospel of Jesus is as simple as can be. Now, again, this is John G. Lake. The thing I love about John, he was able to reproduce himself over and over and over again. He can not only do it, he could train you to do it. He said, the gospel of Jesus is as simple as can be. As God lived in the body and operated through the man Jesus, so the man on the throne, Jesus, operates through his body, the church, in the world. Even as Jesus himself was the representative of God the Father, so also the church is the representative of Christ. As Jesus yielded himself unto all righteousness, so the church should yield herself to do all the will of Christ. There's John G. Lake. Oh, I love this one. Remember that message I taught called Honor the God Who Walks in You? Remember that? Listen to John. Not the Gospel of John. John G. Lake. By the God within, we cast out devils. Did you hear that phrase? Say that one out loud. By the God within, I cast out devils. Say it again. By the God within, I cast out devils. God the Holy Ghost dwells in me. And by the God within, I cast out devils. He goes farther than that in this one. Somebody was asking me right before the service, is it demonic attack when you're assaulted with negative thoughts and maybe past failures and things keep coming again and again and again? I said, well, yeah. I said, I go some nights, I wake up in the morning and I'm exhausted, not physically but mentally. Because it seemed like all night somebody was going through a flip, like an album of all my failures. Every not just mistakes, how about sin? Bad things, you know. And I in the early days, I didn't know what was causing it. I thought, well, it's just me, you know. That's a devil. You know how I know, or demonic attack anyway. Because God says, He says, I cast all of that into the sea of forgetfulness. I say it this way. He burned the album, the copy he had. But the devil still has one. There's some devil there during the night messing with my mind. I wake up feeling like a slimy dog worm, you know. I mean, I could crawl underneath the snake's belly with a top hat on, you know. That's, you know. Well, you got to resist. That's a devil. Run it off. Now, here's the rest of the quote. He not only talks about by the God within casting out devils. He says, if you find within your heart a thought of sin or selfishness, by the exercise of the Spirit of God within you, you cast that thing out as unworthy of a child of God. And you put it away from you. See, those thoughts are actually temptations. Being tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are. James says, no, it's when you play with that. When lust is conceived. See, I don't know what was happening. I was walking along and I slipped into adultery. No, you did not. You thought about it. You maybe for weeks, maybe longer. You entertained thoughts. You meditated and finally you acted. Anyway. Here's John G. Lake again. It's not only in his spirit. And he's talking about the Christian. It's not only in his spirit that he needs to be rid of sin, nor only in his soul is he to be pure. It is God in the body that the individual needs for a well body. It is God that he needs. Now remember, John G. Lake was the one that had the revelation when they put the bubonic plague germs on his skin. The plague died, not him. And they said, how is that happening? He said, well, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That life radiates from me. And if anything deadly touches my body, it dies, not me. That reminds me of a verse from this morning. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. I'm going to read this one, then we're probably done. John G. Lake again. No, got two more. John G. Lake says, now the Spirit of God radiates from the Christian's person because of the indwelling Holy Ghost, and it makes him impregnable to any touch or contact of evil forces. He is the subjective force himself, and the Spirit of God radiates from him as long as his faith in God is active. The reason people become sick is the same reason they become sinful. They surrender to the suggestion of the things that is evil, and it takes possession of their heart. Sickness is just the same. There is no difference. The suggestion of oppression is presented. What he means is the circumstance will manifest. They become frightened, and the disease secures a foothold. The believer should say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I refuse to have this thing. Now, this is the guy that's pretty tough. I read that, and y'all see how I walk. I'm believing to walk straight as a string. Amen? But I read that, and I don't run from it. I'm trying to say, okay, I refuse to have this thing. Christ is my healer. If he can heal birth defects, he can heal polio effects. And that's what that is. I will walk straight as a string because Jesus is my healer. I refuse to have this thing. Amen? Man, okay. Now, this is John G. Lake's personal prayer of consecration. I don't know how often he would pray it. I don't know. But it's in one of his books. My God and Father, in Jesus' name I come to thee. Take me as I am. Make me what I ought to be. In spirit, in soul, in body. Give me power to do right. If I have wronged any, to repent, to confess, to restore, no matter what it costs. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I am thy child. That I may manifest thee in a perfect spirit, a holy mind, and a sickless body. Pretty good. good. Then I have one by Nathan Verbal. My flesh is a dead meat sack. But anyway, that's another lesson. Told you. I put down the good ones in here now. Leonard Ravenhill, y'all know who he is? Oh, you should. Look him up. He says, my main ambition in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list. Leonard Ravenhill said this one too. Now, he's fairly modern. He's lived within the last 100 years. He said, if Jesus had preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. I got to say that one again. I stumbled a little. I want to make sure they hear that. If Jesus had preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. Wow. There's another one by Leonard. You ought to look Leonard up if you don't know who he is. Leonard Ravenhill. Are the things you are living for, are they worth Christ dying for? Wow. If you don't have your own list of good quotes, I'll just read you the last one that I just put on here. Well, the one I just put on here was, the church doesn't need more power. The church needs more gospel. And that's T.L. Osborne. Early in John Alexander Dowie's ministry, now he got pretty far off at the end. He needed the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. But early in the ministry, because he was having such results, somebody asked him, are you an apostle? He replied, well, I might be if I can ever get small enough. That's the right attitude, see. He started off all right, you know. Okay, this is my last one for. Okay, so people are afraid of, well, if I cast out that devil, won't it try and come on me? I like Lester Sumrall. Flies don't land on a hot stove. Stay hot. Stay hot. I like that. Lester also said this one. To know the will of God? You want to know the will of God? Read the Bible. You want to be led by the Spirit of God? Do the Bible. Good stuff. All right, I got to stop. I mean, we could go on and on. If you don't have a list of your own, you ought to. You know you can't have mine. I'll put some of them on there for you, just to have. Get you started. Get your own. Read. What are you doing with your time? Come on. All right.